Handy Guys and Hurricanes up next on the podcast.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, a podcast for handy guys from handy guys. Here are the handy guys themselves, Brian and Paul.
Why are you laughing? Hey, Brian.
That's good.
So we have a hurricane coming, Brian, and I know that there are handy guys throughout the eastern parts of the United States because I've heard this one may hit North Carolina, perhaps, further north, Jersey.
Right. They're saying anywhere from North Carolina to Maine.
Okay.
Now, that was, you know, when I said to you, hey, let's do a show on hurricane preparedness. That's what they were saying. Now they're thinking it's probably going to be more south, North Carolina, South Carolina, maybe into Virginia. But still, this is a good topic.
Right.
You know, we're in an area where we don't get affected by hurricanes.
Sure.
Or if we do, we're just going to get some rain, a little bit of wind. But I thought, you know, what kind of preparation would I be taking if, you know, the hurricane was going to land off the Jersey shore, Cape May, New Jersey, and, you know, 90 miles from us?
Yeah, and we have been hit fairly hard, although we're not right on the coast, so we have a buffer. But, you know, I'm sure if you lived in Florida, you know what to do. But I thought it would be a good idea, or you thought it would be a good idea, to discuss some of the topics of and the issues and the chores that you need to take into account if you're preparing for a hurricane.
Yeah, and we're not going to have time to go over every single detail of a disaster supply
right.
kit and all of that. So in the
Just go to FEMA, right? They have all the answers, don't they?
Yeah, FEMA, the government is your savior. No, the they do have some good resources. I'll give them that. So in the post, in the show notes, we're going to have links to FEMA, to NOAA, to ready.gov, you know, a couple of government websites,
right.
And they talk about disaster supply
I'm
kits.
I'm surprised the IRS doesn't have some information just to, you know, they don't want to lose any income from your loss. So.
Right. Maybe they do. So
you want to protect your valuables.
Right.
So they can tax them.
But I thought there were some interesting things, you know, for, you know, us kind of mid-Atlanticers or Northerners or
sure.
whatever you want to call us, you know, some things that we can do, even if we're not going to get a direct hit, but we may get some high winds and some heavy rains and some
right.
of the preparations that I'm going to take, that you may take, and that some of our listeners, you know, that may be along the edge of this thing are going to take.
And certainly if you, a lot of these issues and some of the topics at hand are going to apply to other types of disasters. So
yeah, absolutely. Or even just a, you know, a big storm coming your way.
Your disaster supply kit, your readiness, all that, it's going to apply to tornadoes if you're in the Midwest, to what do they have on the West Coast? Earthquakes, I guess, and who knows what else.
Yeah, some of that. So, they talk about knowing your evacuation route. They talk about, you know, if your family is separated, have a rallying point, you know, things like that. But
okay. Well, let's talk about it, but first let's provide our contact information. You can simply email us at us@handyguyspodcast.com. You can check us out on Twitter at twitter.com/handyguys.
Correct.
And you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thehandyguys.
That's right.
All right.
Got a project on your honey-do list? Let the handy guys know about it, and they may talk about it on their next podcast.
So, Brian, where do we begin with all of this disaster and hurricane, specifically preparedness?
Well, I started thinking about it in the context of my house, right? So what do I need to worry about? Well, you know, we're not that close to the coast, so we're not going to need to worry about storm surges. That's where you kind of have a big wave that comes
right.
in and, you know, you have catastrophic flooding all of a sudden.
If you had catastrophic flooding, I'm not really sure what you can do, you know, to prepare for that other than to get out.
Right. You're just going to be out of the way of it. That's your preparation.
Yeah.
Make sure you and your family are safe. Around here in some low-lying areas along streams and creeks and so forth, flooding can be a concern in heavy rains.
Yep.
It is, even if it's not a hurricane coming. And so you should know if you live in a low-lying area, that could be a concern. For me personally, I'm up on a hill. They used to call it Tunnel Hill. So I'm up on the top of Tunnel Hill, and I don't need to worry about flooding.
Fortunately, I don't think I do either.
No,
I'm right up on the ridge.
Yeah, you're kind of on the ridge, so you're good there. So I'm worried about rain getting into my basement.
Yep.
Right? Water getting into my basement. I'm worried about wind and what wind is going to do.
And potential power loss.
Power loss.
Communication. Right.
Communications, exactly.
Loss, and who knows, we've been pretty okay with water, but if you're in a hurricane area, you could certainly have issues with water supply.
Water supply, and...
And if you're well water, certainly, because you could lose power.
Exactly. So, first thing I would do is, first thing I am going to do is check my gutters, make sure they're functional, they're not clogged, they're not leaking, and that they're attached well. I know a few weeks ago, Paul, you had just a torrential downpour come through your neighborhood. It didn't really affect me too much, but some of your neighbors lost soffits.
Yeah,
and aluminum flashing aluminum trim on their house,
trees.
Shingles, trees. That's right, you lost a tree.
Yes, my poor crepe myrtle.
Your poor crepe myrtle. Your house looks bare without the crepe myrtle out front.
Yep.
So, you know, securing things around your house, lawn chairs, lawn furniture,
right?
Garbage cans, your recycle bin.
They become projectiles.
They go flying through the air and can cause a lot of damage. So pull all that stuff into the garage, put it in your basement.
Make sure your neighbors aren't leaving stuff out either.
Exactly. So when you're cleaning up your yard, look around at your neighbor's yard. And if you see, you know, an aluminum lawn chair sitting out behind the house, you know, go knock on their door and say, hey, tie this down, put a bungee around the deck or something, or bring it into the garage, get it out of the way, because those things will blow around.
What about the abandoned car out back?
I don't have an abandoned car out back, but maybe some people do. I don't think that's going to be
flying away.
You're okay there. FEMA recommends trimming your trees. You got dead limbs and things like that.
Right.
You know, get those all cleaned up.
Yeah. So if you have dead, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm thinking you don't have time to trim trees, but if you do have some things hanging down like that look serious, then you definitely want to get
right.
Care
so
of
you know, you're not going to be out trimming the trees as the storm is coming in off the coast, right? But you know, that's kind of a long term thing. So anytime you've got dead limbs, you're going to want to prune that tree and get them cleaned up.
All right, so when I think about high winds, I think about glass windows. What do I do to protect my house?
You know, I remember people putting duct tape on their windows.
Yes, I remember that. In fact, when I was in Massachusetts and we got a near direct hit by a hurricane, a lot of people were doing that.
Right. Well, FEMA doesn't recommend doing that. They say it's useless.
Really?
Yeah, I found that today as I was preparing for this show.
Now,
I always thought that was the thing to do.
Huh. Okay.
So what FEMA recommends is...
Open the windows?
No. Mythbusters do a thing
know.
On that?
I think they did. Better to open? I can't remember the results.
I think the results was, no, you don't want to do that.
Oh, okay.
But the what FEMA recommends is two things. Is one, permanently installed storm shutters.
Right.
Right?
Like so, the old days.
Yeah, back in the old days, they had shutters. They weren't just plastic things that bolted onto the side of your house, but they were actually functional and served a purpose.
Maybe because the glass they used wasn't very friendly if it broke.
Right. Well, now they have storm shutters that can like roll down and things
that.
So people down in Florida have those things installed.
Around here, no one has them. We all have shutters, but they're all fake.
That's right. I've always wanted real shutters on my house.
I thought
that'd be kind of cool. But the so what FEMA recommends is 5/8-inch plywood cut to fit over your window and screwed on. So I know people down in areas that are really prone to hurricanes have those pieces of plywood made up, ready to go. They're labeled which one goes on which window, and they've got you know, they use the same screw holes and everything, and they go and they attach them. But that's a lot of work, and you got to be, you know, you're really going to want to do that if you're in a direct path of a storm. I'm not doing that unless, you know, even if they, you know, right now, you know, we're 4 days out from possibly getting something from this hurricane. It's probably going to be down south. But even, you know, by the time we got a warning, all right, it's going to come in direct hit to where you are, it's too late to go to the lumber yard, buy that 5/8 inch plywood, cut it for each window, attach it.
And this is this a Category 3 hurricane? Or is that
right now it's
Category
4.
Oh, 4. So that's 131 sustained mile, 131 to 155 mile sustained winds. That can do some serious damage if you're anywhere near the, you know, direct hit. So you're going to want to get those windows covered.
That's right.
And get with the plywood and so on.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You know, now we're inland, you know, so if you're inland, you know, the hurricanes drop off significantly as you come inland. And there's all kinds of models for how that works. I was looking at those today.
But along the coast, you want to do the plywood. And the people that live there a long time probably know this by now.
They know, all about that. And
in fact, we're going to have an expert later on in the show, Brian. We need to have somebody. We need to call one. I know we have some listeners from Florida.
Listeners from every state. Right. But
Stay on this call. Good. Stay on this podcast.
Right. We're going to call one of our listeners.
We got to get somebody on.
I already set it up. I found one of our listeners down in Florida. He's in Fort Lauderdale, and he's standing by. We're going to call him towards the end of the show.
All right. But so let's just talk about that's the protecting your house. You know. Part of it, the issue there, though, Brian, is the house needs to be built to sustain hurricanes, right? If you have a house that's not built well,
mobile homes, you know.
Obviously, there's only so much you can do. You can, you know, tie them down so they may not blow
But the
away.
Building codes are different in South Florida versus Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Right? So down there, the building codes are built to
accommodate. Brian, if we get hit directly somehow with 130 plus mile an hour sustained winds, you might as well just if you have vinyl siding, watch it blow away.
It's all coming off. And so are the shingles.
Right.
Down there, they nail with 5 or 6 nails per shingle. Up here, they do 3 or 4.
Yeah, and they don't use, I imagine, vinyl siding, do they, in some of these hurricane areas?
Yeah, they...
Right on the coast?
If they do,
it's nailed tightly well, or they use cement board.
Yeah, they use a lot of fiber cement now and things like that.
Okay.
All right. So what about inside your house, Paul?
Well, one thing is sump pump, I imagine. You need
sump pump.
That's what we have to deal with, flooding around here.
That's right. So it's really easy to go into your basement. If you've got a sump pump, make sure it's operational.
But what if we don't have any power?
If you don't have any power, we talked about that on a previous show. We talked about battery-operated backup sump pumps, and we also talked about water-powered.
Right, the water pressure powered.
Water pressure powered sump pumps, the base pump.
And we talked to a listener on that show, and he
installed one.
Yeah,
right.
And it would have saved his basement if he had had it.
Right, because he had a power outage and a flood.
Yeah.
And right after he finished his basement. So you need to consider that. But a simple thing, just make sure the float on your sump pump is working, right? So if you do have power and a lot of water, you know it's going to work.
Yeah, and you know, the caller, hopefully in Florida, when we talk to later, is going to have us some tips, some really nice tips, I think, on some of those battery related issues.
I think he is, and he's got some opinions on generators and so forth.
So
that's the other thing, generators around here. Yeah. People don't have.
It's not
power.
Common.
It's not common to lose your power. I know some people around here have standby generators. Right. People have portable generators. Just get the portable generator out, start it up, make sure it works. Simple thing you can do.
Absolutely.
Right? Make sure you got a can of gas and that the gas is fresh. You don't want to use gas that's been sitting a year. And so you can just go out and make sure it works. It's a simple thing to do. It takes a couple of minutes. If it doesn't work, then you can do some troubleshooting and whatever, figure out what's going on.
So I imagine thinking of power, you want communication. Most people these days have wireless phones.
Right.
So you're going to lose them. They don't work if the main station goes out and needs power. And so cell phones, I guess, are your better option if you have them fully charged.
Right. So just make sure your cell phone is on the charger. Make sure it's fully charged. Make sure your vehicle has a full tank of gas in case there is, God forbid, an evacuation, that you're not waiting in a line with 50 other cars to get gas. You're ready to go.
Make sure you have food around the house. I know in these parts also, you know, you get an inch of snow and everyone makes a rush for the milk, I guess.
Right, because you got to have your gallon of milk and your loaf of bread, right, in case the case of the big snowstorm or whatever. So I imagine we're going to see some of that. You know,
so
they're running
the
grocery store.
You want to have the basics, obviously. Flashlights, you know, most of this is common sense. Right. A radio that works
but here's
is good,
the thing,
battery operated, which are pretty rare to find. A lot of people don't have battery operated radios anymore.
They don't. And there's even hand crank radios, right? But that don't need batteries. But here's my thing with the flashlights, Paul. I can never find a flashlight when the power goes out.
Well,
you know, it's like rooting around in the drawer. Where is it? You know, okay, we found a candle. Let's light
you
that.
You got to find it before the power goes out.
Exactly. So
on, aren't you a Boy Scout? Always be prepared. It's the first thing when I see a storm coming, I find my flashlight.
Right. Well, that's what you got to do and know where it is and know, you know, make sure you got batteries for it.
What about gold bullion? Should you have that in the house just in case? You
know? Don't tell anyone I got that hidden under my bed.
I know some suggest make sure you have cash, small bills, make sure you have all these. This is just like basic supply kit. You know, you need to have, think through. You know, water is probably the most critical item to have in your house, plenty of water.
Yeah. I mean, if power is out for a number of days and it's out at the water authority, if you're on city water, and they have backup generators, but they can fail, so you might lose water pressure. Perhaps.
I know people were having problems with water in New Orleans when they had that their disaster Katrina, 5 years ago.
Yeah. So yeah, you might want to have water if you're in a really critical area or a sensitive area. How about this? Latch your garage door closed. Garage doors are one of the weak points of entry into your house, you know, usually
For security, you mean? So
I'm just saying, you know, if you latch it or lock it, it makes a tighter seal against the driveway.
Oh, I got you.
Right. It's not going to
just, you're talking about as far as the wind.
Yeah. The wind and the rain and driving rain.
The bad guys. I thought maybe they might be out.
No, not the bad guys. I'm not.
Someone's looking to steal your generator.
Right. So just latch your garage door. It's a simple thing. That's one of the weak points. Yeah. And it's a common point of failure in high winds.
But if you're going to use that generator, don't use it in a closed garage.
Good point.
So you wait till the winds are gone, open the garage, move it out into your driveway. And run it out there.
How about, FEMA says, identify the safest room in your house.
That's a hard one in a hurricane, especially if you don't have a basement.
That's right. So they say a room without windows.
And if you do have a basement, you may have flooding issues. So
right. A room without windows and a room without a door to the exterior.
Sure.
So where is that in your house, Paul? You know, is that your first floor powder room? You know, are you going to cram your whole family in there? No. It's probably going to be around here in a basement.
Yeah.
And because what you don't want is that flying debris. If you've got high winds and your neighbor's lawn chair comes through your window, you don't want glass, you know.
All right, Brian.
Coming around.
All this stuff is nice and we'll send some links to it. It's good information, but I really want some tips from the hurricane handy guy, maybe a fan of our show, who can give us some really cool tips that perhaps you won't just see on your everyday FEMA site.
Right. Well, you know, I set this up with Eric, one of our fans. He's hunkered down through 5 hurricanes. So he's got some experience and he'll share some tips.
Let's talk to him then.
Don't know where to get reliable answers for your do-it-yourself projects? Why not search the Handy Guys Archive at handyguyspodcast.com?
All right, Eric, what we want to talk to you about is we know that you're from you live in Florida, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And the there we go. There's proof. You have a dog now. In the Fort Lauderdale area?
Yes, in the Fort Lauderdale area. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. So tell us, we've already gone over some a basic overview of some tactics for preparing for an oncoming hurricane. But being that we're inland, 90 miles or so, we don't really have to worry too much about direct hits, but you do. And we're wondering if you have some specific tips beyond the ordinary of boarding up your windows and that sort of thing to prepare and to help someone who's facing the onslaught of a hurricane.
Sure. There's all kinds of stuff to do. I think some of the more important things are planning for the aftermath. Mm-hmm. I think oftentimes that's the thing that's kind of missed. You get the heavy winds and rains and stuff, but it's really the power outages and expecting days of going without power that can really, really kill you if you don't have the right stuff. And a lot of times, the right stuff is just the staples, the water, the food, the stuff that you can prepare without an oven, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And power. Power is the big one. Power is the big one.
So how do you handle the power, the challenge of power?
Well, I have a system that plugs directly into my home, mm-hmm. so I'm able to actually have a generator and just plug the generator right directly into my home power, and it pretty much does everything. I'll turn off the main air conditioning unit to conserve kind of a bit there, but otherwise everything else works fine.
So it's a whole house generator?
It's a whole house generator.
Yeah.
It's a portable generator that I plug into the home.
And sure. And it runs on gasoline?
Runs on gas.
Okay.
So that's the other another thing to have is gas.
Right.
That's it. Yeah.
Now, what about one of the things, tell me if you do this, that I read today in preparing for this show was to put your refrigerator on its coldest cycle.
Well, it's...
I guess you don't need to worry about that.
Yeah, I've heard it, but it's really more along the lines of just having it step cooler so they'd stay cooler longer. I'm not sure how much that has to do with it. They also say to not go in it.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's another tough one. Hey, you know, don't go in your fridge and it'll stay cooler longer. Well, so yeah, there's all kinds of fun stuff you hear from people.
Right. So with the generator, then obviously you have the transfer switch, so you're not feeding power back into the grid or, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Do you have any?
Licensed electrician. Licensed electrician installs the home bypass switch. Yes.
And then you had mentioned today when I asked you if you could be on the show, something about batteries and inverters. What's the deal with that? Because I didn't come across that in researching for the show.
Well, I found that the temporary power, short-term power is a big thing. In Florida, I had three hurricanes pass in a period of a month in 2005. And the big one was a big truck battery, a power inverter, allowed me to plug in a small television, black and white television. So I basically sat there while the storm was going over and watched the local news broadcast of the radar image. So it's just kind of that slowly moving swarm of color that you see, or in my case, shades of black. But that was actually just kind of something that helped you get by. And then, of course, you have the oscillating fan. You have an oscillating fan. You have, a couple of other little tricks that are nice to have while the storm's gone.
So how much time can you get off of a big truck battery and a power inverter to power a small TV whatever?
Right. It went the whole storm, and it was probably a good eight to 10 hours of downtime. I wouldn't say the battery was on the whole time, but it was probably a good 4 or 5 hours, and it didn't die.
Wow.
So, yeah, and you know, you're not pulling a lot of juice. It's a small television, a little fan, and there really wasn't a whole bunch of juice. I actually had a charger, a battery charger on for I had a, you know, those cordless lights you get with your cordless, home power tool, cordless power tool.
Yeah.
For the flashlight. So I had the charger charging the flashlight battery for, lighting. So that was something I'd carry around, and I didn't have to worry about batteries, because I just have it on the charger, and it lasted, for a long time. I mean, those tools, really, you don't think of how long they last until you actually need to use them for an extended period of time.
Sure. One of the things I was thinking of doing in preparing was, sharpen my chainsaw blades. You know, I don't know if you have a chainsaw or anything like that, but is that kind of, I don't know, what do you think about that?
Yes, I think that's important in an area where you're definitely going to be clearing trees. I have, it's shameful, but in Florida, I don't have a lot of big trees, so I have an electric chainsaw.
There you go.
But yeah, so it did pretty well. And honestly, I have a tree pruner, a battery, a rechargeable tree pruner that has an extension wand on it, and that I use that for everything. That is my power tool of choice when I go out into after hurricane clearing the branches, because most of them are palm trees, and you got to go up high to get the palm
right.
Fronds that are broken.
So, how much gasoline do you have on hand before a hurricane hits?
Well, I've got about 4 5-gallon jugs.
Oh wow! Okay.
I fill them up, and I never get through half.
Okay.
There was one time that I went 6 days without power, and I cycled through the cans all the way, and that one was for Katrina. Actually, it came through, and the storm was very light, and it was interesting. It had moved on quickly, but we went without power for 6 days, so we missed, of course, all the coverage.
Right.
Different areas that had it worse than us. So
that's right, because it came through South Florida before it came over to Mississippi and New
right.
Orleans.
Yeah, it hit us first, and it was it did a major damage on the power grid. But my home wasn't really damaged much. I had my screened enclosure destroyed on during Wilma, and that was a couple of years ago as well. So, you know, it varying degrees. And Wilma, of course. Out, but of course, it destroyed my screen enclosure. So,
right.
You never know.
Well, Eric, so we appreciate you giving this information. So, we really wanted to get someone with a little more authentic flavor of the hurricane, because we just get the winds sometimes. If it hits, you know, in North Carolina or up along the Jersey coast, then we get a lot of rain, a lot of water. So, we have to deal with the flooding. And we have
sure.
we've had some pretty bad ones, actually, where whole areas have been flooded out, and they've actually destroyed the homes ultimately because they just didn't want to rebuild, and they declared it a floodplain after a couple of hurricanes came through back in '99. So but we don't have to deal with the direct winds. Now, do you also, I assume, cover your windows and all that?
Yeah, I have steel corrugated sheets that are specially sized for the house. They make them accordion, and they make them nice and easy and removable and collapsible and stuff. Mine, of course, are the more difficult ones, so it's a real pain. It takes a couple hours to put them up, and it's interesting. The beginning, early before the storm hits, it is the hottest, it is the warmest, and it's the sunniest, so you're out there putting stuff. So
right.
It's an interesting. But yeah, I do cover up every window in the home.
Yeah, cool. See, around here, nobody has anything like that. So, you know, if we got a direct hit, even though we're 90 miles from the coast, you know, I guess we don't need to worry about covering our windows. But, you know, even people on the Jersey Shore don't, you know, I don't think all of them have.
I think they do when they know that, but you're right. They probably don't.
Plywood.
Know.
Yeah, people use plywood.
And it's going to get a lot. You're going to have all the Home Depots and the Lowe's are going to sell out of the plywood real quick. And it's funny. It's a game that's played each hurricane. I don't know where they put the plywood after the storm.
They store it for the next one, hopefully.
Right.
All right, Eric, we appreciate your information. That's good info.
Yes. Well, thanks for calling. Always fun.
All right.
So there you have it. That's your information on preparing for a hurricane, some basic tips, but also consult. We'll have some links on our website. You want to check FEMA.
Right. We don't claim to know everything about hurricane preparedness, and it's going to depend on where you're at, how your house was built, you know, and how much of an impact you're going to get. So
right.
Make sure you do your due diligence as you prepare for a potential hurricane or other natural disaster.
I like Eric's tip, though, with the battery, because then if you get an inverter, you can be running that before you can even start your generator. If you have a portable generator, you really can't start it with all the rains and the winds if you have it outside.
Yeah, because, you don't want to be out there in the middle of the storm. And, having a battery, you know, get a nice big truck battery, like you said, maybe something from a 18-wheeler or something,
or at least
a marine battery, those deep cycle batteries. They're not cheap, but having one of them around and a little 12-volt to AC inverter, and at least you can charge your cell phone or
absolutely
power a radio or a small TV, something like that.
All right, there you have it. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Handy Guys Podcast.
Thanks, bye.
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time, same handy website.